We visit, as we do each and every Monday, Patriots Monday, with the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick. Hello, Coach. How are you?
Good deal, Mike. Steve?
Coach, how was Aruba or Cancun or wherever you jetted off to relax? No?
No, Hingham, yeah.
Oh, okay. Close enough.
Good. Next best thing.
Cancun by the sea.
I heard
pretty sunny.
When Tom Brady was on the morning show today, they asked him, you know, do you actually watch football on a Sunday when you have a Sunday off like that? He said, oh, yeah. Said, especially Red Zone Channel. Do you watch football on a Sunday like that?
Don't have Red Zone.
No?
Don't have Red Zone.
The greatest invention known to football fans.
I think you have it. Maybe you haven't looked for it on your cable provider. It's there. It's there waiting for you. You got to find that channel.
Opportunity to see a lot of games all at once.
I have a feeling you might see enough of that stuff anyway in your own film work. What did you expect, or what did you tell your or advise your players before they left for their little weekend off?
Well, you know, I thought we had a good opportunity to get caught up on a couple things last week in meetings and in practice, and I think the main thing that we understand is there's a long way to go. I mean, we got a lot of football left, and we're gonna have to keep working hard and keep improving. Where we're at now won't be good enough. We'll have to move forward.
I was saying to these guys earlier today, in my lifetime of watching NFL football, I've never seen anything like it. 6 touchdown passes seem to be nothing. 5 touchdown passes is nothing, the way things have gone this year. Is it almost impossible to be able to play good, solid defense the way the NFL is structured right now?
I hope not. I don't know. You know, just, I mean, each week's its own week and its own matchup, and, you know, how are the teams match up against other teams. You kind of have to look at that from afar. I just know what, you know, what we're trying to do, and hopefully we can play good defense and score points. That's, you know, that's the name of the game. So hopefully we'll be able to do that.
Could you give us an idea of Andrew Luck's progression from what you've seen the first time you played him? That was a wild game, a second playoff game, a little different level for Andrew Luck. Just compare, like, where he is right now compared to what you saw the first two times you guys faced him.
I mean, you know, this guy's really a good player. He's got a lot going for him, you know, big, strong kid, like Roethlisberger strong, that shrugs off defenders and, you know, can throw the ball, make all the throws down the field, but very athletic, fast. He can eat up a lot of yards in a hurry. And he does a good job of picking out his times when to run, critical situations, third down, red area, critical situations in the game, 2-minute, things like that. So he does an excellent job in the line of scrimmage, changing plays, getting the best play against the defense or against the defensive look, that type of thing. So I think he's got a really, really impressive game. He controls the running game. He controls the passing game. He can make all the throws. He's hard to bring down in the pocket. He's fast. He's elusive. He's kind of – he's got a lot going for him.
Does their defense remind you anything of the Ravens? I mean, do they – I know they like to blitz a little bit more than some teams, but are they aggressive like the Ravens have been in the past?
You know, I think that's definitely the foundation of it. They've been using a lot of I'd say they've been playing a lot of – I mean, first of all, they've been playing ahead from a lot, so they're – you know, in kind of a pass rush, pass pressure on the passing game mode. Been using a lot of 5-man pressure, which can become 6-man pressure if a guy blocks and another guy comes and adds in the rush, that kind of thing. So they've been trying to mix that up, drop their ends, bring their linebackers. Not a ridiculous amount, but they certainly do it enough to challenge you. And, you know, use a little bit of secondary pressure. But, you know, when they've been able to play from ahead, they can, you know, dial up some creative blitzes and that come with different stunts and games on them. And so even though it's only 5 guys coming, the different twisting and combinations that they can present to the offensive line is challenging.
And they've gotten ahead quite often. They're very good getting that fast start from what I've seen.
Real good. Yeah, real good. And they haven't, you know, they've, especially at home, they haven't given up many third down conversions, only – you know, a handful here in the last 3 games or so. So they're playing from ahead. They got the crowd noise. They're making it tough to make it tough to get any kind of rhythm going offensively. And so we obviously need to do that. And they score a lot of points and one of the highest scoring teams in the league. So they do a lot of things well. A couple onside kicks, a couple, you know, get plays in the return game. So they've got a good team in all three phases of the game. And they're playing at home. Sure, they'll be ready to go. Be very challenging there.
Do teams take on the personality sometimes of their coaches? In other words, is there a Chuck Pagano team? Is there an Andy Reid team? Something where you identify the head coach and you've got an idea what characteristics that coach likes to have on his team?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the right verbiage is, but I think the things that you emphasize as a coach that you usually get, you can't emphasize everything, but the things you emphasize you usually get. And if you don't get those, then as a coach, you need to figure out a way to get them. The things you're emphasizing aren't happening, then you got to change something. Find somebody that can give you what you're emphasizing, or find a different way of doing it, or you know, whatever it happens to be. So I think that's pretty much, you know, what every coach does is you have certain things you believe in, you have certain things that are important. You put those at the top of the list, and you try to get your team to do those. And it's not 100 of them. I mean, it's realistically, it's a handful, and you have to be selective on those. And whether it's in college recruiting or whether it's in the NFL, if you want a certain type of player, then you better get them. If you want a fast team, then you better get fast players. I mean, it's as simple as that. If you want, you know, whatever the emphasis is, then you need to try to get those type of people onto your football team so that you have what you want. And if you don't, then that's kind of your fault for not getting those type of players.
Part of the reason I ask is that I'm not used to seeing a Bill Belichick team take as many penalties as this one has this year. What's happening there?
Yeah, we got to do a better job. Yeah, that's certainly not what we're trying to do. We got to do a better job.
Yeah, I want to switch gears a bit and ask you about something. You know, Tom Brady said on the radio this morning. He was talking about longevity and how every decision he makes, it's basically football centric. He wants to play this game for a long time. And I know you coached Clay Matthews, played for a long time. Coach Vinny Testaverde played for a while. Coach against Daryl Green played for a while. What do you think the key is to accomplish that longevity that those guys accomplish?
I'm sure there's a lot of things that go into it. Not having been a pro player, that's probably not the best person to ask that. You know, Steve probably handled that better than I could.
Could learn how to long snap.
Sure, that's there you go. There you go.
Got me a few free years. So
there you go.
But you know, seeing those guys and Junior Seau's another one. You know, is it something that you've maybe training? Nutrition, is it luck? I mean, maybe it's just, you know, you got to Clay Matthews. We know what that whole family is about. You know, everybody, you know, generation after generation, you know, cousins, brothers, nephews, all playing in the NFL. Is it just being lucky at the gene pool?
I'm sure there's a lot of factors that go into it. That might be part of it. I don't know. But there's probably examples of guys that maybe, you know, weren't the first pick in the draft that played for a long time. I mean, obviously, you've got this pick, you know, super high. He's got a lot of talent. There's a reason why it was drafted that high, like Clay Matthews would be an example. That might be part of it. You know, talent's part of it, but I'm sure there's a lot of other things that go into it as well. And it's a long time to play, and I'm sure there's got to be a little bit of good fortune along the way somewhere, too.
Coach, you always talk about getting better as the year goes along. What does your team have to do to get better in the second half of the season?
Well, I'd say really pretty much everything. You know, it's really a daily process of, you know, coming in, being ready to go, being well rested, being alert, taking advantage of the opportunity to work with our teammates and gather information and process it and go out there on the field and execute it and be alert to things that we've learned or situations that come up that we can execute better the next time they happen and get that execution and timing on those things, because it doesn't do any good to know what to do if you can't go out there and do it. So that's our opportunity on the practice field to work on those things. So we just keep doing it on a daily basis, try to string those together. Sooner or later, I think those things will and it will benefit us, whether it's a play or a situation or a special teams play, whatever it happens to be. You know, last year we went through the whole year and went through several years, never onside kick. Well, we onside kick in Cleveland and Pittsburgh, but and we needed that in the Cleveland game last year, and we got it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know what we're going to need. I don't know what those plays are going to be, but we'll keep working on all the critical situation plays, and when they come up, hopefully we'll be able to know what to do and be able to do it, whether it's third down, fourth down, special teams, whatever it is. I don't know.
All right, you mentioned that just last year, for example. Just give us an idea. So you had to have the onside kick in the Cleveland game, and you got it. How extensively had you worked on it in practice up to that point? Was it the same amount, or do you just go by feel and say, I feel like we should put a little more extra time into the that onside kick preparation?
Well, those are the kind of plays you never know when they're going to come up, so you practice them every week, and you may never use them. You may use them once, twice. So, you know, you just don't know, but you have to be ready for all those things, whether it's having to, you know, recover one or kick one or kick off after a safety or return a kick after a safety or kick a game-winning field goal or try to block a game-winning field goal. What, you know, so you practice all those things. You know, occasionally something might come up that the other team does that's a little bit unusual, that's, or you see an opportunity that isn't normally there and you coach it a little bit differently that week because of that situation. But I think those are things that you do kind of on it's part of the weekly checklist.
You've said in the past that you don't always know what your team is like at the beginning of the season. You're still working through things and figuring things out. Are we approaching that time of year where you get a pretty good read on what your team is like and what they can do and where they're at?
Oh, I feel like I know a lot more about this team than I did in September. There's no question about that. So, you know, I think the things that we've done over that period of time, whether it be practice and game situations, certainly teams have tried to attack us certain ways. We've seen that. We've got to try to figure out how to combat those, things that we've been in varying degrees successful doing or not successful doing, that we either need to try to modify or correct or eliminate, whatever it happens to be, and try to get to our strengths. You know, we've had some young players that we didn't, or players that were new to the team, not necessarily young players, but guys that were new to the team that, you know, after going through 9 regular season games and 4 preseason games, we certainly know about a lot more about them and what their impact on our team is than we did a while ago. So, yeah, all those things they all come together, and we see our opponents, and we see more information and more of a scouting report on our opponents. We have a better idea where they are and how to deal with their problems. So, yeah, it's definitely, we're all climbing that hill. You know, we're getting further up it.
All right, we got to be creative with this one, Bill, since you guys didn't play yesterday. Time now for the Coach's Drive of the Week, brought to you by the all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class, raising the bar yet again as the benchmark in luxury sports sedans.
Emphasis on creative.
Visit mbusa.com or your nearest dealer today. I know you probably wonder, okay, what am I going to ask you? A few plays stand out to me yesterday. There's a Colin Kaepernick 4th down, 50-yard completion in the New Orleans game. Patrick Peterson had one of the more athletic plays that I've seen in a long time, to return it for a touchdown, kind of tipped the ball in the air to himself, caught it, and returned it for a score. And Aaron Rodgers, I think, threw for about 700 first-half touchdown passes. Did you see any of those plays, and did any of them just get your attention from yesterday's games?
You know, I didn't really see the Kaepernick play. I saw, you know, some of Rodgers and the Packers' offensive production last night. What else do we have?
And then there was
the interception.
And
I didn't
Patrick
see that.
Peterson.
I didn't see the interception.
And I'm sure when I saw the Peterson one, I was like, I'm going to ask Bill, you know, if he's ever seen anything quite like that defensively. Then I remembered that you used to coach Lawrence Taylor, so
might have seen something like that.
I'm guessing that you've seen
remember,
plays.
We had the interception here. Was it last year or 2 years ago where we had the ball on the sideline and tipped it? Cole tipped it back in to –
Yeah, right there on the sideline.
Right.
That one, yeah. Yeah, Cole. And who did he tip it to?
I'm trying to remember. But, you know, I mean, it, like
– yeah.
obviously it was two different guys, but it was that same kind of play where, was it McCourty? McCourty tipped it to, I think Devin tipped it. But in any case, it was one of those plays where you're going out of bounds and you keep it alive and, you know, sort of like down the punt, but, you know, turned into an interception, a big turnover there. But, I mean, that type of, you know, heads-up play, knowing where you're on the field, knowing where you're on the sideline, and being able to keep it alive for a teammate.
Yeah, and I know, and plus you also used to coach Steve DiAzzi. I'm sure there are many plays.
Athletic-type
where
plays,
he made. You said, I know I'm never going to see a play like that again in my life.
At least not in the starting lineup.
So. Coach, we appreciate the time as always. We'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one. Have
thank
a good week.
Right, our conversation with the coach is brought to you as always by SBLI. Do what Teddy Bruschi did. Get affordable, dependable life insurance from SBLI, the company that has protected over 1 million families since 1907. Visit SBLI.com today.